I just need to remember to do it is the thing. Like, I forget that it's there because it's like buried so far in my library at this point. I also got they came out with like a Hand of Fate Survivors like that I've been playing this week too. And which is, I don't know, neither of you probably really get into like the Survivors games, right? Like Vampire Survivors.
I have never actually played Vampire Survivors.
Okay, yeah. So like anyway, it's pretty close to Deep Rock Galactic Survivor, which also you haven't played, which doesn't mean anything to you, but it's
maybe
another rabbit hole I've kind of dragged myself down in between. Which reminds me, I need to uninstall Trails Through Daybreak to free up some room on my now that I've finished it and gotten the clear bonus into Daybreak 2. But that's the problem, is that Baldur's Gate is like so far down in my library now that I forget about it, and I just need to bump it up. I just need to like launch it once so that it's up at the higher at the top of the list, and then I'll remember about it. But it's like out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, I have to just get through. Like, I do know what happens at the end of it, but I need to just like
there's multiple do the last endings. Thing. What do you mean you know what happens?
I've looked into multiple of the endings.
Last played August 10th, 2024. Wow, that's almost 2 years ago.
Yeah, let's see when mine is. I'll load Steam here.
For shame.
It's not installed on this piece on this Mac or the PC. I might have downloaded it. Part of the problem was when we got the PC, I like was like, it might be downloaded on there. It might be one of the things that caused I downloaded so many games, and my husband downloaded so much like video editing stuff and like videos that he had made, that Comcast decided that we were like somehow like doing something that we're not supposed to be doing, and throttled the internet for that computer. Like,
they're obviously torrenting.
Yeah. So we would like reset the IP address, or he understood. Like, he would try to change it so it couldn't recognize anymore that it was that computer, right? And that would work for, like, a day. And then somehow Comcast would be like, oh, especially if I open Steam, which I was trying to play Expedition 33. I wanted to finish Expedition 33, but if I open Steam somehow, I don't know if that was quite what it was, but it felt like if I open Steam, then somehow Comcast knew, and then therefore, next time my husband got on the machine, he couldn't download anything, and the internet was like super slow. Let's see, when did I last play Baldur's Gate? January 28th, 2025.
So you're I also out. Have Final Fantasy Tactics installed on here that I have not launched, and I need to fix that too.
I also was like, well, I'm going to buy this, but I don't know when I'm going to play it.
Yeah, I mean, I played it originally. I played it on my iPhone, like the original, like Final Fantasy Tactics. That's what I played through.
A PS1 disc for PS2 was when I played Tactics.
Yeah.
And then I played it again when the iPad version came out, because it was a pretty great version, honestly.
Yeah, that was the version I played on my phone. Yeah.
They did a great job with the iOS versions. I can't imagine doing it on a phone because it's so small. But I love that sort of sketchy art style. And then, yeah, kind of exciting to have a fully voiced version.
I need to finally. I'm like intimidated just getting into Final Fantasy of any kind, because like, there's like so many of them, and I know I could just be like, which one should I start with, right? And you or my brother would be happy to hold my hand.
Yeah.
But because I never played any of it, even growing up, now it's like when everybody was obsessed with Lost and I hadn't watched Lost, and I was like, I'm not starting now.
Okay.
I think Seven Remake is probably the one you start with.
Because here's the thing. Final Fantasy, they're not sequels, right? It's not like Trails, where it's a continuous story. Yeah. Final Fantasy is just like, these are all isolated stories. Even the ones that take place in Evilis, right, that take place in the same world, which most of them do not, have nothing to do with each other, and you will gain nothing from having played the others.
Like, maybe there's like a slight reference here and there, but like it doesn't matter.
Like, what is it? Tactics is in Evilis, and 12, I think, is in
and nobody's Evilis. Played 12, so you won't even know. Yeah.
Excuse me. 12 was delightful. Yeah, but so they really are fairly standalone, and yeah, I think you could just hop on the, well, I never played FF7 the first time around, let's play the new one, and I think
you can even put it on story mode fine. And just do that totally. If you were worried about it, but I mean you shouldn't have to, but you could if you needed to. 13 was good. I don't know that I would play 13 before 7 remake.
Part 3.
Yeah, I mean, 16 was also...
You're not saying personally, you're saying in general. Yeah.
Yeah, in general. And, like, 16... I like 16. 16's kind of polarizing, I think.
If you're doing the hits, right, it is tactics. It is 7 because, of all...
Well,
it's the one that people loved, and so it's the one that's gotten this epic remaster. Or remake, sorry.
Yeah, 6.
And many, I don't know, in a lot of the discussions I've had on Final Fantasy, people are like between tactics, if you're counting tactics as the best one, and if you're not counting tactics, then 9.
9's rough though. 9's rough to play now because the controls are terrible.
I don't know.
It's like 9 desperately needs a remake. Like really, truly, like I was in love with the story, and I could not manage like the interface because it's like
on
you get into
iOS
the
or
no, and like I had the Steam port, and I was playing on the Steam Deck, and like this was in the days when they didn't have DualShocks, so like you get on the world map, and it would just start rotating around you, and you have no control over where it is, and you just like end up walking in circles for at least I would like walk in circles for 20 minutes. Because there was no world map either to tell you where you were supposed to be going. So, I like the story is delightful. Like, I love the characters. Like, the story is great. I just couldn't keep with it because the gameplay was just, it needs some quality of life upgrades to be able to play as like a modern game. But like 10 still holds up. 6, you need a guide to help you with 6, but 6 holds up really well also. I mean, 6 was the last of the Super Nintendo ones.
I feel like 10 was the Final Fantasy of my generation because it like came out in sort of peak PlayStation 2 when we were old enough to like have consoles and be teenagers playing a Final Fantasy. And and it was going from 9 to 10 was a big graphical jump.
Yeah, because the PS1 to PS2 was a big bear graphic. Just don't let someone suck you into 14.
Yeah, don't do that. That's a different genre. That's completely
MMO.
Different. Yeah.
Yeah.
My daughter will try. That's what we lost Garrett to from Angry Chicken, right?
It was 14.
Like my daughter will try, and it's like and every so often she still tries. I'm like, nope, I'm not doing an MMO. I'm sorry. I will play the Ishtola deck in Magic. I am not getting sucked into an MMO. I don't have that kind of time, and I don't have that kind of commitment, and I'm not raiding in a guild. Like, it's not happening. Like,
yeah, no, that is absolutely where I am with MMOs as well. So I'm not tempted by an MMO. I don't know if my brother still plays 14, but he definitely was in that for a while. But like, honestly, like 2 tactics plus 7 remake is like enough.
That sounds
for me
fine.
To start with. Yeah.
I mean, particularly because, they broke 7 into 3 games, which it was 4 discs when it came out. But that was... Yeah.
I mean, granted, Dissonant Hold is much back then, but still.
Different time.
Yeah.
But discs didn't hold as much, but also what they were holding was smaller, right? In terms, because the graphics didn't take up so much space. So, like, there was still a significant amount of story. I'm not sure. Like, I'm
just going to go on to how long to beat.
Disc 1 is still disc 1 in terms of the remake, right? I don't think there's that much that they...
I never played the original because I didn't have a PlayStation 1. Uh-huh. So
I played it on emulator and then on iPad. Yeah. I'm not I kind of feel like with the remakes, they like they made the remake was disc one, and then they made Rebirth disc two, and like this last one is disc three.
The original Final Fantasy, according to How Long to Beat, the main story of Final Fantasy VII, like, you know, not like just, you know, doing just the story, no side content, was 36 hours. The main story of VII Remake is 32 and a half hours.
Just remake.
Yeah. Okay. And Rebirth is 48 and a half hours. The main story, no side quests.
So they've extended it. But I feel like that's because, like, we've got, like, longer cutscenes and we've got longer, like, I don't know. I mean, I guess more time is more time, but.
The completionist for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is 162 hours.
It's a Persona game. Yeah.
Like, I could play three Trails games in that amount of time. Like,
well, that's
basically you're telling me I have to resist my completionist urge if I'm going
to
do this.
Yes. Yeah, yes. You don't need to do all the side quests. You super do not.
And especially for Rebirth, because they put too many of these mini games in that. It's and some of the achievements are like, beat this mini game on hard, and I hate this decision they made. You can't access hard mode until you have beaten the game. And I'm like, hold up. You made me play through the entire story, and now you're letting me... No! Just let me play on hard from the start. Don't do that. Yeah.
Yeah. No. There was some of the, like, Gestural Village, like, or, like, the, like, Gestural Beach minigames in Expedition 33.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
I did all of them, like, easy version, but the, like, challenge ones... I think there was one, there's like one where you have to climb, and like the platforming, I feel like it must be intentional. It's so bad.
I think I did that one and I hated myself. Like by the time I beat it.
I got so close and then fell. And then I was like, I can't, it'll take me at least 20 minutes to get back to that point again.
It's like, that's why I can't play like Jump King, right?
Cause
you would get to, like, you've gone through so many levels, and then you would fall through, like, the last three levels that you just jumped through. And, yeah. Watching other people play Jump King streamers is hilarious.
I don't even know what that... What the hell is Jump King?
How did... You missed this sensation.
I missed...
It's literally... You jump... That's the entire game, is you are jumping up a tower through different environments to get to the top.
Oh, is this a Shovel Knight thing? Or like, no. It's just like, take up the challenge and face true high-stakes platforming in Jump King. Struggle upwards in search of the smoking hot babe of legend, but explore with care. A single missed jump could lead to a long fall back down. Okay.
And it's got, you know, 8-bit graphics or whatever. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I will do, like, Geometry Dash, right? Like, where you reset to the beginning of the song if you mess up.
Uh-huh.
Like, I've got, or, like, an Endless Runner. I mostly try not to play games on my phone these days, except for, like, word games, but because I would just, like, spend too long on them. But, like, I was pretty good at Geometry Dash. Not amazing at Geometry Dash, but pretty good. Not like the people doing the like insane levels that are like custom made from people on the marketplace, and like I don't even understand what's going on there, but like doing some of the harder ones of the like pre-made ones, I guess. So I don't know, depends on who you're talking to whether that qualifies as pretty good. I do remember though, students will still play Geometry Dash, and it is funny if they find out that I'm better than they are. I mean, or that I used to be. I haven't played in a while, but that like you can tell which students' parents play games because like by whether they're shocked that I play games or not. Uh-huh. I have finally gotten old enough that I do read to them as like a real adult, and not like a young adult. So like I now read in like the same breath as like coworkers who are quite a bit older than me, I think now, just in the category of like, you are no longer a kid adjacent person. And so they're like, you play video games? Or they're like, oh yeah, my dad plays games. So it's like there's very little in between on this binary.
Yeah. Yeah, because it still baffles me to no end that it's like, oh yeah, I guess there's still like a large percentage of people who just do not exist in the video game world at all and don't play that much. Yeah. And so if that is your parent, you're like, what? Adults play video games?
Even though like most of my kids are children of millennials and millennials grew up with games.
Yeah, but like it's a high percentage, but it's still by no means like
it's not everybody. Yeah.
It's not everyone. Yeah. And if you don't see it in your parents, then you just go with the culture, which always associates games with young people. So yeah.
What's really gonna mess me up is like when Leah enters, you know, preteen and teen years, if I am still casting. And if I do manage to convince Leah to play Hearthstone, that's gonna be a weird time. Just like when Wicked, your kids found out.
Oh,
that you stream sometimes.
when I picked them up from camp and then their friends came over like, oh yeah, you're the dad who streams. Like, yeah, I guess I am. Yeah, at the time I did. Yeah, that's me. But I mean, that was a cool thing, I guess. So, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like playing games is cool to some of the students, although I don't play like shooters. I also I think Minecraft is cool, but I never really played it very much. So I don't know a lot about it.
Yeah.
And like, I was a little too old for that, I think. And I just never like jumped into that. Seemed like a lot going on. I think like my coworkers who are musicians, definitely that's like that tends to be like the coolest hobby. A certain type of theater kid loves I have a coworker who does like, acts and pretty substantial like community productions. So some of the kids think that's lame and some of them think that's super cool. But none of them are surprised that an adult does like plays music. Or acts, or writes fantasy novels, which the actor also writes fantasy novels. But yeah, some of them are like, "Well, you play games? Wait, what games do you play?" Or like when I'm trying to get to know them and I'm asking like, "What do you like to do?" If they say games, I always ask, "What games do you play?" And they're like, looking at me like that's going to mean something to you. And often
Hey, Narc, why are you asking? Like.
Number of times I have had to like explain what I do. Like since casting, I actually got to a point where it's like, I guess this is what I tell people my job is if I don't want to just dodge completely and say I'm a stay-at-home mom. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you know how like for sports, there's like the people who commentate on the sport. That's what I do, but for games, for video games.
I mean, that's how I've had to explain it, like, to, like, my mom. I was, like, explaining Hearthstone esports casting. She's like, what is that? I'm like, okay, so, like, when you're watching soccer, somebody's being, like, explaining what's happening, or they're just yelling about it excitedly. Hearthstone, a little bit slower paced. Uh-huh. But right, it's or like when we're watching the Olympics, there are people explaining what's going on and making jokes about it, and
yeah, that Olympics while people are playing Hearthstone is kind of a better example because more of the sports are kind of that slower, you know, analytical kind of, but whereas like the faster sports like soccer or basketball, whatever, I imagine are kind of more like the shooters, right? Where for the shooters and in the Overwatch type games, you need a color commentator, right? For when suddenly things are going fast, and it's a completely different kind of casting, right? Like, I could not do
I don't know how
that,
to do it.
Because it's a very fast pace where you have to be, like, paying attention, like, catching things visually, and then reiterating in a, you know, hype but explanatory manner. Yeah.
And you need to know what you need to be paying attention to, right, too, because there's, like, a whole bunch of stuff going on, and, like, it may not be... It's like sometimes there'll be something going on in like another part of the map that you need. I don't know. I assume that they have multiple screens, but like they need to be able to know like everything that's going on in the map and then be able to like break it down like immediately, like have caught it and seen what had happened and then be able to explain it in like split seconds, which is it's really like watching. I used to watch a fair amount of League and just like them pointing out stuff that I couldn't even tell what was happening. And be able to like break it down. Oh yeah, well this person did this. They had this alt, and then this led to this, and then they responded with like, I just saw a bunch of motion. Like, how did you see all that stuff happening and be able to pick it all out? You know,
yeah, you know, there are studies of expertise in psychology research for like chess masters and like how they like what is their brain look like when they look at a board. Versus somebody who's a chess amateur versus somebody who doesn't play chess at all, right? And then you compare like other types of, you know, do they have better visual memory in general? And often it's like not necessarily, right? But they do have the, because they have these underlying like knowledge and schemas about chess, when they see what looks like, what would look to me like a fairly random assortment of pieces, they recognize what's going on, and they can remember that is even just like one chunk, so they can like recreate the entire board after seeing it once. Whereas I would be like, I don't know, I think the rook was over here. Maybe. Interestingly, they are no better than if you give them like a possible real board state, like a state that came from a real game, then they're really good at remembering it. If you give them just like a purely random board state that might not even be possible to get to through normal play, they are no good at remembering it. They're not better than anyone else.
Yeah,
because
they're used to seeing like there's patterns, right? Like they're used to seeing how it progressed to that point, and they know like the moves that could get there, and they're looking at like a lot of the same boards over and over again. Like you get into a lot of the same, like it's not exactly the same, but a lot of similar board states that they kind of have seen a bunch of times, and then they know how to navigate it. Kind of the same way that we would with, you know, various board states that you just be able to react to and then know, but somebody else who's gonna have to like look at everything and like read all the cards and know what they all do and whatever, like they're used to seeing like it's the same way that like if there's like minions that are in the meta that we see over and over again, we'll know what they are, and then when somebody just vomits a bunch of nonsense onto the board, you need to read the cards to see what the death rattle is to make sure you're not going to screw yourself by killing something, right?
I think I do a remarkable job with cards from the past. All things considered.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you would think that talking about Hearthstone a lot every week would make us better at remembering names of cards and stuff.
No,
or like details of when things happen, but I think it almost makes us worse because there's just like so much interference effect. If it's not recent, I had to boot it out of my brain.
Well, yeah. And I find that like because name isn't actually the important thing, it really ends up being this pattern recognition of like, I see this art, right? Like I'll recognize things by the art, but then what I associate is what does this do? Because that's the important thing. And so that's why it's always, oh, you know, it's the this cost card that does this, right? And that's because like, well, we're only holding on to the important parts of the information. Speaking of cards, I should really go. Need to do key cards for tomorrow.
Oh,
all right.
Yeah, and I should probably get some sleep so I don't have another night like I did last night. Oh, there's Overwatch esports apparently. 34 and a half viewers watching a rebroadcast. That is something. Okay. Well, we can raid Tito. Tito's not doing Overwatch esports, but we can raid him anyway.
Had a Deck Tech interview recently.
Oh, did he?
Or I think he's about to.
Or is about to. One of those.
Is about to. Let's see. Yeah, he's going to have one on Sunday.
Nice. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's cool.
He's playing Death Knight, your favorite. All right, anyway, we're going to go send you over to Tio Santana. Thank you, everybody, for coming out. We'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Have a great night.
Bye.
Bye.